ようこそどうぞ、はじめまして。
Hello everyone, welcome to the Glorio Chat, the Full Metal Panic of anime podcasts.
10 years!
I don't think we went quite that long between seasons.
Yeah. The wait's all been anticipating. Yeah. Finally back, as if nothing has changed.
More like
I guess...
what does that mean? I guess we should explain the joke, because we basically, we started this podcast like 5 years ago or something like that. And then we made like 3 episodes and didn't make any episodes for like 2 years. And then we came back, so...
Well, first there was the Incoherent Babble days of the podcast where we just talked about random shit. And then there was the Glorio Chat podcast that was like a couple years after that where we tried to have more like focused. And then there was like we stopped doing that for like 2 years and then picked that back up. So, well this says episode 13, like...
Yeah, man, this goes all the way really back to like, Marcus Spear days, huh?
It's really like episode... what, 9 or 10?
You know, guys, I think you guys are misconstruing it. You know, we needed enough source material, you know, in the original work, you know, to get to a certain point before we could do, you know, the second, you know, season.
Yeah, good point.
To make sure we could get a full core. So actually, you know, the weight makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, the joke was funny to us. Sorry, everyone. okay, well, we are back for another episode of the Glorio Chat, and it is about the midway point of the spring 2018 season, which means it's time to catch up with the shows that we've been watching. I'm looking forward to some of these because we've had a couple shows take some interesting turns that were not expected, so we'll talk about that. Handle this week's discussion, we've assembled for 2 podcasts in a row, Team Glorio USA.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
So I'm Jell. We have Iroh.
Hi.
We have G.
Yo, yo.
And we have Marlon.
Back in glorious Chicagoland.
Yes.
You mean flyover country?
Three
Chicago's
times.
Not flyover country.
Yeah, but... yeah, so once again, we're covering the entire East Coast, West Coast, and the middle,
Midwest.
Whatever you want to call the middle, the Midwest. Yeah, so we got a lot of shows to talk about, so I don't want to waste too much time here. For all of these, most of them we talked about in our First Impressions podcast, so if you haven't checked that out or you haven't been keeping up with the shows this season, I'd recommend going back and listening to that, because we're going to be taking it from the perspective of, you know, we're already halfway through the season and talking as if you've already seen the episodes. So you've been warned. All right. So we've got a pretty long list here. So let's just jump right into it.
Boy, do we.
Yeah.
This is probably one of the most packed seasons of, like, Glorio era history.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think Marlon and I have a longer history of watching a ton of shows every season than you guys do.
That's true.
This season, it's like everybody's watching a lot. So, yeah, there's a lot of good shows.
There's a lot of shows actually worth watching, whereas we would normally just watch a bunch of trash, especially back in the original, like, 2012.
I'm still watching some trash, but we'll get into that. All right, so let's start our first entry. Sorry to dig this up again, G, but Golden Kamuy.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to ask pretty much for all of these, is the show better, worse, or the same as when last time we talked about it? So, Golden Kamuy, better, worse, or the same? How's it looking?
Better, technically.
Sure.
Yeah, like, it's weird. Like, it's, how do I put it? You know, obviously. You know, I mean, obviously, you all should be reading the Golden Kamuy manga, but
I think everybody is now at this point, except me, maybe, but
I'm going to keep shilling it every week if I can get away with it. But yeah. How do I put it? It's weird. Like, the anime has actually started to get more like the manga as time goes on, which is a little confusing. Like, you would think the first few episodes would be the ones that they would nail it, right? Like, to make sure you get it as close as accurate as possible. But the first couple of episodes would, you know, like, mess things up. Like, they totally botched Usurpa's god tier reaction faces, and, you know, the action looked like garbage, and they would, like, skip entire scenes from the manga. And as the anime has gone on, they've started getting better about including, like, little parts of the manga. The humor has been getting better. It's still not great. Like, anytime anything exciting happens, you can start to see the seams in the production. You can start to see where it falls apart. But during the cooking parts and during the comedy parts, it's decent. It's still not where I'd want it to be, you know, without a doubt, but it's weird how it has gotten better at adapting the material. Overall, I think I would still say you're better off reading the original manga, but I would say the Golden Kamuy anime has gone from, like, total garbage fire to just, I don't know, undeniable boondoggle.
Well, I guess that's an improvement.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
And, you know, one more thing I'll say is the voice work, the voice acting in the anime is tremendous. Like, you got Akio Otsuka, you got, you know, Joji Nakata, you got, like, some really high profile voice work. And even the ones that are less high profile are really well done. Sugimoto and Usurpa are fantastic. Shiraishi is super well done. Tsurumi, like, I mean, I could just list all the characters, but it's astounding how good the voice work is. Like,
I dipped back in for an episode, and, like, I was like, man, all these cool voice actors voicing these cool characters in a not-so-cool anime, and I got really sad.
Yeah, like, Golden Kamuy's voice acting is the platonic ideal of what the Golden Kamuy anime should have been. I'll just leave it at that.
All right, well, at least they got the casting right. So that's something.
Oh, yeah. What if we had drama CDs instead? they still do those anymore?
Do they?
They still do Fate Stay Night, right?
Fate's popular enough now that you're just making an anime here, an anime there, anime all over the place.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, it's good to hear that it didn't get worse, at least, and if anything, better. So that's something. Although, I guess, One more time, everyone. Go read the manga. That seems to be the the answer on that one. So, all right. Let's keep it moving here. Let's talk about Dragon Pilot. I have not watched the past.
You've got an old set of the show notes.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
Jell, you got to refresh the page, man.
No, you know what? I just flat out missed the. Okay.
This has been your Glorio Podcast production minute.
Yes. Before we talk about Dragon Pilot, let's talk about My Hero Academia. So,
I mean, it's still
better worse the academia.
So, yeah, better worse the same. I'm assuming the same.
Yeah.
Same, but that same is good.
Yeah, not too much to say there. Just still a really solid adaptation.
Yeah, Bone's still killing it.
I'd still say I actually prefer the dub to the sub at this point. It's basically I'm paying Funimation $5 a month just to watch the dub.
I was gonna ask you how's that production dub going, but sounds like it's good.
Yeah, sure. Like I've been comparing some of the episodes and like the scripts, the way they've rewritten them, just to be more just more natural
in English.
Yeah, and they've been doing a fantastic job of it.
That's good to hear.
Are they?
Have
they done anything special as far as like the timing, or is it still like the dub is a couple episodes behind?
No, it's a simuldub.
Okay, I know
it comes out at 5:30, same as the
anime,
the subs.
I know with some probably because the less popular shows, they put out the dubs like a couple episodes back or whatever. But yeah, I guess
that's right.
My Hero Academia has become a huge deal at this point, so.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. So for the second season, the first season they had simuldubs, but then the second season, or the second half of the second season, it was like what you're talking about, where it was a couple episodes behind. They must have been able to rework the contract to get the simuldubs at the exact same time again.
Or something.
Yeah, that obviously...
It comes out at the same time. It comes out for Crunchyroll.
Yeah, that's impressive.
They've been on top of it. You know, it's impressive.
Yeah.
And they're still really good. I really like Bakugo's voice. I think that's the one that I like the most compared to the Japanese.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as it sounds appropriately shitty.
Oh, yeah. He sounds like such like a tool.
So long as you still want to punch him in the face, then they've done their job.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, shout out to My Hero Academia, as always. Good old mainstay there. Can we talk about Dragon Pilot now?
Watch it. Sure.
Yes. Okay.
So, well, I haven't watched it past the first episode, so you guys are gonna have to come in.
Strap in. I have thoughts.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Is it better, worse, or the same?
Tentatively go with same.
Yeah,
that's what I'd say. Yeah.
I think some of the like potential issues are starting to like seep out of the ground. You know,
the way I would put it is the honeymoon phase of Dragon Pilot is over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
To echo a conversation I had earlier, it kind of reminds me of Little Witch Academia the OVA versus Little Witch Academia the TV show. When you're just a one episode thing or a short movie, you can afford to just introduce your base premise, you know, bathe in the awe of what it's doing visually and whatever, the spectacle, and you can kind of move on. You don't have the expectation of more questions. But when you become a serial television series, then your viewer is going to start asking questions like, where are you taking this? What is your end game? What is the message you are trying to convey with this piece of work? And that's kind of where I feel Dragon Pilot is starting to end up. Like the first three episodes, it's like this really, you know, wonderful, cute story about this adorable fuck up and her magical transforming dragon jet. Yeah. And it works. It really does. But
yeah.
Now they're starting to introduce some developments that kind of worry me about where they're taking the plot and what are they planning to do with these characters in the long run.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just kind of aimless, I feel.
I feel less aimless and more worried about specifically, I mean,
some
for me,
unfortunate implications going on.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, not to go into spoiler territory too much, but basically, all the dragon pilots are female. They're women. And, you know, as we all know, the military is kind of a traditionally male-dominated occupation. And, you know, in the show, a lot of those military members are kind of shitheads, which is not unbelievable. You know, coming from my own personal experience meeting, you know, a lot of former military, some of them are kind of shitheads. So it's less that, but when taken in the context of them as an adversarial entity to your all-female pilot group, there are certain things they're doing with the characters that don't read well to me, you know, and
they're letting them get away with it.
Kind of, yes. Yeah.
Or at least they're excusing it, or they're not treating it with significance that I think it should be getting.
Yeah.
And even with, like, the main plot stuff, like, what I think they're when it comes to the character, like the main characters of the Dragon Pilots, like, and their issues, like I could see the show trying to play it as, say, like issues that are common to the human condition or whatever, except because they're all women in a male-dominated environment, it creates that subtext of, oh, these like crazy women with all their problems.
Right, there's that kind of underlying tone.
Like you said, they don't excuse the guys for being crappy. They kind of like show, yeah, this guy's been kind of a tool, even if.
But they don't really like acknowledge it being as a bad thing. Like
right, like in universe,
yeah. The show itself does not call them out on this behavior.
And again, I just want to say, you know, one more time that these are just things that are starting to show up, but they haven't necessarily become concrete problems yet. It's just that enough of them have started to creep up that it's starting to make me worry a little bit. And, you know, again, I truly hope 6 weeks from now, we're all saying, man, you know, really glad Dragon Pilot picked itself up and it ended so well. It's just, I really hope the opposite doesn't happen, where 6 weeks from now, you know, Jill, you're at, you know, during the podcast, you're like, how was Dragon Pilot? And then the rest of us are like, man, those first three episodes are really good. Like, that's not where I want this to go. I really don't. Because Dragon Pilot is so charming. It's so sweet and good. It's the way the characters move. Like, even in this episode where a lot of these problems were starting to creep up in a way that I could no longer really ignore, it's still unbelievably charming to look at.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I guess we'll have to keep an eye on it. Kind of unfortunate there's warning signs popping up there, but we'll see how it goes then. All right. Okay, so who put Darling in the Franxx on this list?
We have to.
Is it time? I've been putting off talking about it. Is it time we have to talk about it again? I'm assuming it's gotten worse. Are we maintaining the same level of terrible?
I'm just gonna say I'm glad that I stopped watching it. Like,
I don't even know. It's not.
Just so bad. Just give it to me. What happened? What did they do?
Joke.
These sex metaphors became actual sex.
Also worse, like.
Not in a good way.
There's literally a conversation in the latest episode where they're like, why do humans still have reproductive organs? And they say, to pilot the Franxx.
It's really bad. Darling in the Franxx is...
Are they all clones or something at this point?
It is like the bad mainstream attempt to communicate. It is trying so hard to be Evangelion. That's just the simple way of putting it. It is trying so hard to be this interesting, novel, kind of daring, ballsy, audacious story about human relationships and what they represent, but it's botching it so fucking bad. It's unbelievable how bad it just, like, is there an opposite of jumping the shark, or is jumping the shark the right term? Like every week
before you jump the shark.
I think they jumped the shark with the training robots with the butts in them. So we're well past. That was like the first episode. So we're well past. All right.
How about this? How about this then? Remember when we were all watching Kill la Kill, and every week you'd be like, man, this shit is fucking wild. How could it possibly get crazier next week? And then, like, a crazy Osakan man would shoot money bills out of a gun and transform into a golden crab robot. And you'd be like, oh, that's how.
Right.
Like somehow that show always managed to escalate in ways that continued to impress and excite you. Like, Franxx is kind of like that, where every week I'm like, man, that episode was fucking garbage. How could it possibly get any worse?
Right.
And then it does somehow. Somehow every, like, if my bar was set on a 1 to 10 scale at like 2, and then down to 1, and then like 0.9, and then 0.8, and then 0.7, like I am increasingly running out of decimal points to where I can lower my expectations for this show, because...
Right, so just to like... Like, what, three episodes ago, they revealed the dinosaurs are actually people?
Of course.
And then now they have, like, a cute girl dinosaur princess who's their leader?
Yeah.
In addition to the dumb sex shit?
So wait, do they literally have sex, or is it still just a metaphor?
No, there is literal sex.
No, there's sex.
Oh. Well, I guess that's...
Because we need to make... babies, because it's the only way we can pass on into the future is by banging.
What?
Okay.
The genes.
What?
The genes.
I have no idea. I'm kind of glad I stopped watching.
What?
Although
here's the thing, right? Like when Franxx is firing on all cylinders, like when the plot is pushed to the side and they're just like, yo, look at these cool fucking robots, like Franxx becomes like a really fantastic animator's demo reel. Like
robots are cool.
Yeah, like when the action is happening, like, there was an episode a few weeks ago that I shit you not was on this, at least on, I don't know, on the same level, but it was at least in the same weight class as shit like Gurren Lagann.
And, right, there was like cool battle episode halfway marker type thing.
But the problem then is that there's no emotional connection. Like, you can have this big, cool, awesome robot doing this real badass thing, and the OP starts playing, and the robot makes a big transformation, and all this shit, and the music is happening, and, you know, all that good shit. But if I don't give a shit about the characters, it falls totally flat. Like, my brain can recognize how cool the things are on screen, but, you know, I personally feel nothing. And it kind of speaks to, like, the inherent tragedy of Darling in the Franxx, that it is being put together by such undeniably talented people, but because the writer is not one of those people, the whole thing just falls apart.
I can't wait till it's getting another. I can't wait till that show is over and we don't have to talk about it anymore.
No, because that guy who wrote it has another friend in the industry that'll get him another writing job.
Yeah, no, it'll happen again. He'll get another job.
Yeah, but hopefully he'll get attached to a project that doesn't have such talented people attached to it. You know, like.
Yeah, well, the last one was Dobby Kobo.
They're pretty talented, but yeah.
Look, we'll do the Rise and Fall Dokobo podcast another time.
Yeah, we can get into that another time. I'm sure Plastic Memories will come up in that, but
or Tadakun.
Well, we'll talk. We'll get to Tadakun in a few minutes.
Getting ahead of things here.
But yes. All right. Well, we'll
tell us about Real Girl. Joe.
Yeah, let's move on to the next show on the list, and I guess I'm the only one, still the only one watching Real Girl, so I'll talk about that for a second.
Is Real Girl better? The same or worse?
I'm going to say it is slightly better.
Okay.
There are still a lot of the kind of dumb shoujo cliches, like they brought in the male and female rival characters to kind of, you know, put the stress on the main relationship, and there's, you know, dumb misunderstandings and stuff with that. So that's kind of annoying. But you know, the one thing that I said that I liked about the show has kind of been expanded on and they're sticking with is the fact that the main characters are very they're flawed and they do very dumb things, but the show always calls them out for it and makes them learn from it. Or they actually like want to learn from it. It's not like they're like forced to or whatever. So they're, you know,
is this the one where you said you keep getting tricked into watching the next episode? Is the guy's too smooth?
Or
is
that's Wotakoi, which we'll get
to. Okay.
We'll get there. I have some bullets in the chamber for Wotakoi, but so in Real Girl, like this is an example I'll throw out there for this last episode. The main guy at the beginning of the show, he's, you know, lonely otaku guy that everybody hates. He only has like one other otaku friend. And then like over the course of the show, through several episodes, he gets his hot girlfriend. He gets a couple other friends. And there's this other like cute nerd girl that's kind of into him. And it kind of starts to go to his head a little bit and he doesn't realize it. And so in this week's episode, he like goes up to his original friend. He's like, "Hey man, sorry. I haven't had time to hang out with you. You must be really lonely without me," or whatever, something to that effect. And the dude's like, "Hey, don't patronize me, man. You're not like the center of my universe here."
Yeah.
And the main guy is like confused for a minute. And then eventually he figures out, "Oh wow, that was a terrible thing to say." And he apologizes and everything is good again. So like there's stuff like that happens. And it was kind of neat. Cause like, you know, you could kind of see how like some awkward, socially inept kid who doesn't have a lot of life experience would think that's a nice thing to say, and then, you know, he realizes, of course, that it isn't. So there's a lot of nice little things like that in the relationship building, and you know, the relationships are pretty good. So you know, I like that there's, you know, there's development of the characters and they grow and they're all fairly likable despite doing some dumb things every episode. So it's pretty good show. I don't know if I would really put it super high on my recommendation list, but like if you're into like that specific genre of like, you know, romance, drama, dramedies, that's a word, right? It might be worth
romantic comedy.
Might be worth checking out. So a lot better than I thought it was going to be, at the very least. So,
I guess that counts for something.
So, yeah.
Anyway, let's keep it rolling. Speaking of shows that are probably better than we were expecting, I guess, Iroh, you're still somehow watching.
I'm still watching the Sword Art Online spinoff about the guns. Yes.
So how's that doing? Are we better or worse?
Like, they just finished the PUBG Battle Royale at episode 5. So the first 5 episodes of this have just been like Battle Royale the anime, where we run around like a desert and a town and shoot people.
I would watch that. Maybe.
Yeah, that does sound interesting.
Like, I mean, episode 5 ends with this little girl's blocking bullets with her gun, which then explodes, and then pulling a knife and cutting someone's throat open. So,
like, again, that sounds
right. Like, but I mean,
I would personally enjoy it. It sounds like my brand.
Happens with like an anime insert song play and everything, and it's kind of silly in a mildly fun way. I don't know. Like, the thing is, the like dumb game shit in Sword Art Online was never really what bothered me about it.
Right.
It was more the like shitty harem power fantasy masturbatory teen shit that I didn't like. And so, but like, instead of I'm a cool gamer, gets all the girls, this one is like, I just want to play video games and be cute and make friends and kill people. Which, like,
and hey, don't we all?
Right, exactly. And so there's this a kind of fun moment where, oh, she's super tall, but as she walks past like a bunch of short schoolgirls, and turns out they were the like final enemy team of a bunch of huge Amazonian gun wielding women that they had to beat at the end.
Sure.
And so the like little girl walks up to her and she's like, I'm gonna fucking take you down next time, bitch.
Not quite okay. That many words, then, I imagine.
No, of course not, but and they're like, come to an agreement. So it's like kind of innocent, fun, and not like actively shitty and harmful the way original Sword Art Online was.
Right, and I guess like at the end of the day, like I don't like Sword Art Online, but if this is just like a harmless thing, then
right. You know. Although it remains to be seen, they had to put a recap episode like after only 5 episodes.
Yeah, that's
not a good story.
Yeah, we will talk about. Yeah, there is a running theme through parts of this podcast about shows having recap episodes weirdly early in their run.
Yeah,
but
everyone's running out of money.
So I guess.
Yep. Speaking of shows, yeah. Only I'm watching.
So we'll move on to the next show. I didn't even know anybody was watching this, but I guess Iroh, you're watching Isekai Izakaya.
Yep, yeah, which I liked Isekai Restaurant from like a couple seasons ago last year. Anyway, this one's weird because I think it's being funded by some sort of tourism organization. It's like a too short. Or it's like a short format where they're like 12-minute episodes, but there's 2 a week. And it'll be like, here's the Isekai restaurant where we bring these fantasy rubes, the wonders of modern Japanese cooking, and they freak out about how we're drinking beer out of glass. And then at the end of every episode, there's about 3 minutes of live-action footage where here's a modern Japanese chef like cooking the food from that was in this episode. Like, here's how a cool modern version of like tofu soup or pasta Neapolitan. Or it'll be like this washed up folk singer guy going to bars and eating the food from this episode.
I don't know. That kind of sounds all
it's
right.
Like a weird reality show shit.
All they need to do is get like sweary in there.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I wish. But yeah, like, and then it pops up a logo for, like, Tokyo Olympics 2020.
What?
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's some, like, tourism.
So it's like 25%
outreach
tourism commercial
sponsor.
And 75% anime.
Yeah, straight up, like, go to this, like, bar and eat the cool food from this episode, and also, here's the address of the bar, you should go there.
Mm.
And
that's,
it's
kind of,
like,
huh.
I did not expect it.
Right.
It's really bizarre. As for the show itself, it's fine. I would say it is the same. It is not better nor worse. But, you know.
Well, I don't think we've ever talked about it, so.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
No better nor worse than the other one?
Yeah, like, in this one,
it's literally the same plot line.
Pretty much. There is a modern-day Japanese izakaya restaurant, which is like, which means it's like a bar, and it's got small, like, bar-type food. And the front door opens into, like, medieval fantasy, Western fantasy land. And so the palace guards and, you know, the deacon from the church and the tax collector all show up at the Japanese bar and collectively freak out about eating raw fish that doesn't make them sick and, you know, drinking beer out of glass. And
yes. So it's literally exactly like that other show.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, I will say, I think technically the manga for this predates.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I assume
the other one, but, you know, it is a case of one anime coming out before the other, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, independently reaching the same idea.
All right.
That's
well,
fine.
Maybe that's something to check out for any fans of the previous show that was exactly the same thing. But hey, live action stuff, that's weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's keep it rolling. Next up on the list, we are going to revisit Last Period. Iroh, are you caught up with this, or are you still a couple episodes back?
No, I'm not caught up with this one. I watched that one.
So I'm caught up on it. I'm going to say it's better. And it's
okay.
Yeah, I mean, our main concern with the beginning from the first episode was whether it was going to stay funny, and it has found ways to stay funny. It's
that
expanded its
Higurashi collaboration episode was pretty good.
Yeah, so it's expanded because it's not only like making fun of gacha games, but it's made fun of just like anime production in general and capitalism in general. Iroh just mentioned they made fun of like the, you know, bizarre out of place crossover events that you always see in gacha games, and so they did an episode where they pulled in Higurashi of all things, which, because that's totally relevant in 2018.
Huh.
Yeah, I remember that show.
Yeah, that's totally relevant in 2018.
And in this like happy-go-lucky gacha game too.
Yeah, and the other good joke in that episode was they had like the actual creators of the game like appear as themselves as like these like morally ambiguous corporate overlords. Yeah, so there's good stuff like that. There was the episode after that was pretty funny because that was just like that was like the direct shots at capitalism where like the main characters through various circumstances become trillionaires, and the main guy's like, hey, this is more money than any one person would ever need, maybe we should use it to help people. And then his like teammates are like, nah, you know, the best thing for us to do is to pour this money back into the economy. Like, of course, it all goes very badly.
Oh,
the ball,
Christ.
And they lose their money, but it was just like,
oh,
not subtle about it at all. So, yeah, it's been.
Well, guys, if you just read this blog I follow, you would understand why minimum wage is actually hurting the poor.
Yeah, that'll be next episode, but. Yeah, I mean, it's kept the same good sense of humor. We don't deserve wise man, that the heroes we don't deserve. I love some of the recurring jokes, like the they go to a different town every week, and it's the mayor is the same person every single time.
Just with different puns.
Yeah, just with different puns.
I like a good Nurse Jenny joke.
Yeah, so. If you just want something to make you laugh in these dark times, it's a good show.
Are they still rolling gacha and summoning the same shitty monk every time?
I'm gonna say everybody.
Okay, thank you. I was about to actually. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was bugging me.
Say, you just say,
"Hey, Nurse Jenny."
Jenny,
whatever. It captures the idea.
You fucking fake anime fan, motherfucker.
Are we gatekeeping Pokemon now? I mean, come on, guys.
I'm sorry.
All right, so let's put the train back on the tracks here. Last period is a funny show, and if you want something funny in these dark times, I recommend it. Something less funny is our next show, Steins Gate Zero.
Tell us about this.
Yeah,
is it better or worse?
Yeah, Marlon, why don't you tell us? Is this better, worse, or the same since the last time we talked about it?
It's kind of hard to say. It's like some things I think are better, but there's some problems too. I would say like it's weird. Almost it's the same because the things that are good are balanced out by the things that I don't like.
Well, first of all, just to catch everybody up, like, you know, the whole thing with Steins Gate, like their big sci-fi hook was time travel. I mean, we were kind of curious as to like what they were going to do in the new series. Is it just going to be time travel again or whatever? So in this one, they don't have the ability to time travel at the moment, right? So like it's
they're not using it
for various reasons. But
so
the hook on this series is they've introduced some AI, and it's kind of suspiciously like the movie Her.
Yeah, remember? So like I was saying,
everybody's familiar with that one, but
sure.
Basically, the main character, you know, Okabe, like it's the same one that's been going through timeline after timeline, and he finally gets like kind of spit out at a timeline where, you know, both his friends don't die, but the world still ends. But like, you know, so it's basically how it was at the beginning before he started time traveling. And so, you know, that's why he doesn't want to time travel again, because then he's just going to, you know, go into a world.
I've screwed everything up every other timeline.
Yeah.
Don't want to time travel anymore.
And so, yeah, like, you know, the main girl with the red hair is dead, because that's what happened in the original timeline. And, you know, he really grew to love her, you know, because, like, he spent, you know, countless numbers of days working with her, making the time machine.
Wait, so
and
so now there's an AI of her?
So it's an AI of her. Yeah. And it basically turns into, like Jella has said, the movie Her, where the AI has her personality and he's like kind of falling in love with her again. But he
Oh man. Is he gonna you get a bone a robot?
Well,
so they keep
I don't think they're going to go that far, yeah. But
oh man.
The characters are very realistic about
don't
it.
Sound so
know?
Don't sound so disappointed, G.
So like, you know, the main girl that has helped create the robot is like, you have to remember that this isn't a real person. You know, like this is an AI. And you know, it seems like he's accepted it, but the plot
sounds like this person hasn't played Nier Automata.
I mean, I don't think we need to get into that right now.
we got to keep rolling here. But yeah,
first couple episodes are good. You know, like I really like that development because you can feel that, yeah, like this is real loss, and he's going through basically with this AI like a period of grieving because he basically never knew her this way in this timeline. But he's getting to experience getting to know her like almost all over again.
Right.
And it's just the one thing that really stinks is that they're doing all the stuff of, you know, there's the cat girl who only talks in Nyas, and there's the cosplay girl that his, you know, his childhood friend. And so they still have all this dumb Akihabara stuff.
Anime.
That was really, you know, it fit at the beginning of the first series, but after all this stuff has happened, it just doesn't really fit anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've had the same experience, John.
Yeah, part of the development of the main guy, Okabe, is he's trying to, like, quote-unquote grow up and get away from all that, but his friends are still very much that way. And I think they're going to eventually loop back around to him giving in and, you know, because he had his own Chunibyo thing as, you know, the crazy mad scientist guy. And right now he's just a normal dude. So
Right.
I have a feeling they're working towards looping that back in. But, you know, that was always kind of part of the personality of the show. I guess I didn't mind it as much in 2010 as I do in 2018. But I also don't think they play it up as much right. now as they did in the original series. But
it's so like,
yeah,
like cosplayer, saying cosplayer and Catgirl, I don't remember them from season one.
Well,
like,
it's just Mayuri, the, you know, the Kanahanazawa
girl.
Yeah, so she does cosplay, and then there's the one of her friends who just works at the maid cafe, that, and she's the one that talks like a cat and is turning into a cat.
yeah, like she progressively gets a larger cat costume every
so,
time.
I really don't remember much so of the Science Gate 2. What about the, like, Biko or whatever?
The dude?
The shrine.
The very effeminate dude. Around, yeah, he's still there. What was
it, dude? Yeah, so
oh boy.
I think overall, though, it's been pretty good. The first couple episodes were kind of like settling us back into the universe and kind of establishing this AI thing, and it's just kind of them hanging out. And then like the last like episode and a half or so, they're starting to up the intensity a bit and kind of introduce some of the, you know, the more, you know, suspenseful type of elements that, you know, we saw like in the second half of the original series. Like they had Moeka, who was like the bad guy last season, like just showed up, and we're trying to figure out how she fits into this current timeline and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's pretty good.
Does it seem like there's
I've been really liking that part, but now they just introduced this girl that, like, I guess time traveled with. Do you remember how there's a girl that's the daughter of the fat guy?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there was nope. That's a thing. And so apparently someone time traveled with her, but she conveniently now has amnesia. And I'm like,
naturally.
It's clearly Okabe's daughter, right?
It seems like it has
travel
to be.
Amnesia.
It's clearly Okabe's daughter. Like, yeah. There's no way it's not his daughter.
Right.
But yeah. That's all part of the you know, mystery that needs to be unraveled for the rest
right.
of the series. So
and just hang out with the robot.
Yeah.
Like, for alright.
Well,
sure.
Yeah, the AI also, it's fair to say it's just like the movie Her. Like, it's in a cell phone. He's just talking to the cell phone. It's not like there's a robot that he's actually
It's actually, yeah.
I've never seen the movie Her, so when you say that, I just pretend I know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
It's entirely like a program in a computer. It's not like a robot or something.
Right, because like in original Steins Gate, they time traveled via text messages, right?
And phone calls.
And microwave.
Phone stuff.
And beepers, right?
And yeah, there were some pagers involved. Yeah, it got weird.
Sure.
But yeah.
Right.
So anyway, I think it's shaping up to be a worthy story on its own, not just like cash in from the original series. So I think
that's definitely been the good part.
So hopefully it'll keep up
as long as
level of quality.
Yeah, as long as they focus on the sci-fi. Because I feel like the stuff with the, I guess maybe it's just because I'm older, but the otaku stuff is just not as interesting anymore.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. So moving on to the next show on our list, Legend of Galactic Heroes.
Sure. That was bad. Probably bad German.
How's that going? Is it still boring?
You mean it is still the tremendous
interesting and political
historical document that it is.
So I was fucking blown away a couple weeks ago because the episode opens with like big political propaganda speech and you know, of rah rah, we're at war, we're gonna beat those shitty, you know, fascists or whatever. And main character Yang Wenli does not applaud because he doesn't like war. Basically, war is bad.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then at night, that very night, a bunch of people wearing face masks show up at his front door to, like, throw a grenade into his house for not supporting the war effort enough.
Do they burn a cross on his lawn?
Yeah. Yes. Basically, he is literally the victim of an attempted lynching.
Oh.
And.
I was fucking.
And
blown away. I'm like, what?
And Legend of the Galactic Heroes is, it is tremendous. It is unbelievable the places it is willing to go and the things it is willing to say about politics and society. And it's crazy. It's like Yamato 2199. I think it works so well because it touches on topics and concepts that are timeless. The nature of governance, the struggle of statecraft, and the unfortunate factors of war that sadly never seem to change no matter how much time passes. You know, it as an anime, like as a fucking anime, it speaks to a political and social literacy that you don't see in anime or even most media, honestly. It's
like they ask Young, like, what why they need to like capture his fortress or whatever, or like why is it so important? And he says, like, well, if we can get a stalemate of like another 50 years or whatever, we might still be at war, but that's relative peace, and that's worth, like, you know, a loss of lives if this plan doesn't pan out.
Yeah, it basically, to kind of iterate, it speaks to a kind of very frank and real understanding of, I guess, of just life in general. Like, it's, I don't want to be like, oh man, like this anime really gets it and shit, but it kind of does.
Is it like a Cold War idea?
Yeah, basically what Iroh was talking about is basically the character Yang Wenli is tasked with, I mean, basically he is in the process of being politically assassinated. He is given the impossible task, you know, as a military leader to capture this fortress. This fortress that in space is vital because
it's like the only corridor between sides of
the galaxy. Basically be used as a choke point between the two warring nations. And
in space?
Yes. It's, you know, whatever. Okay. Like,
it's in like the only open spot of a nebula or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the characters are basically asking Yang Wenli, why? Like, why are you doing this? Why should I care about doing this? And yeah, he basically just says, like, war is probably something that's never going to go away, but Cold War is still better than, you know, endless war. Yeah. And,
as long as my superiors aren't stupid enough to try for a counteroffensive after we capture it.
But
then society can maybe progress for 100 years or so.
Yeah. And, you know, it speaks to just some really, like, heady concepts that I think most anime is either afraid or happy to avoid. It speaks frankly. You know, there's a conversation that Yang Wenli has as a child. He asks his father, why do people fall for fascism? Why do people submit to an autocratic authority?
If Emperor Rudolph was such a bad guy, why did so many people follow him?
Right. He basically asks, why do people follow bad leaders? And the answer he gets is because it's easy. Because
they just wanted their lives to be simple.
Right. Because as much as we hate to admit it, it is unbelievably tempting to want to just give up the responsibility of statecraft and to hand the reins to a single, seemingly competent, powerful leader who can fix all the problems for you so that you don't have to deal with the responsibilities of what democracy is, because so you don't have to involve yourself in the difficulties of what it means to be part of an intrinsic key part of a government. And it just fucking,
I don't know that I've ever seen a show that would like go for the fucking throat of that idea.
It just fucking ran me over like a truck. Like, to see an anime just so like capably and willing and be willing to wrangle with these concepts.
Probably still rather watch Gatchaman Crowds, but sure.
Yeah, I got a great tell there.
All right.
No, I I can appreciate that. I think my thoughts on that show kind of mirrored Zig's when we originally talked about it, where I very much can appreciate what they're doing, but it's probably not for me personally. But I mean, that's cool that they're you know, willing to explore those ideas that are, you know, obviously a lot more heavy than what we'd normally get in our silly cartoons here. So
still telling you, G, like, whenever you want to start that original OVA, I'm right there with you.
Yeah,
all systems, the sea of our stars or whatever, you know.
Yeah, we can find some other fun to work into that.
All star systems.
Yeah, you guys all can work on the title. we'll get back to you when that we're ready to get that started. So, all right, do we have to talk about the next show? I'm extremely disappointed.
You stick that final knife into Dokobo's heart.
Yeah, I've been extremely disappointed with Tada Never Falls in Love. I don't know, Iroh, you caught up on this at all, or are you behind on that? Did you?
No, because after the fucking episode about Glasses asshole wanting to grope the boobs of his favorite idol, who was also his childhood friend, or whatever, or fucking whatever. And I was just like, yeah, I'm done with this shit.
Yeah, you made the wise choice.
It's astounding. My brain literally turned off for like the last 30 seconds. Like I literally cannot remember what you guys said even a minute ago.
Oh man, yeah.
This show is impressive.
My main problem with the show, you know, Pin Senpai aside, who's horrible, is it just continues to be so just cliche and predictable. So like, we found out that Teresa is actually the princess of fake Luxembourg, and her fiance shows up. Her handsome fiance shows up,
oh,
and
no.
You know, that makes Tada jealous and realize that he probably has feelings for Teresa, and she's got feelings for him. And they even ruined Alec because apparently she's into her fiance. I'm just going to spoil it all because I don't want anybody to watch this. It's bad. This show's just bad. It's really disappointing because I very desperately wanted to like the show, and I've given it every opportunity, and now I don't even know if I'm going to keep watching it. So, they did have the Nyanko Big. Nyanko Big episode. That was kind of fun.
That was good. Sorry, Nyanko. It's Nyanko
one
Big.
One good character ain't going to save a show, though.
They had one episode where they took it entirely from Nyanko Big's perspective, which, if anybody's not familiar, is Tada's giant fat cat. And so they did an entire episode from his perspective, where we were like listening to his inner thoughts, and he's like this kind of surly middle-aged man inside his head, and that was pretty fun. But other than that,
these dumb kids.
Yeah, other than that, the show is trash and really disappointing.
Speaking of trash romance shows,
oh god, we're getting back to backs here. Yeah. So I will say Wotakoi is probably not as bad as Tada, but there are definitely some pretty.
I'm surprised you could watch it when there were no subtitles.
Well, yeah. Shout out to Amazon for 2 weeks in a row putting the episode out without subtitles and not putting them on for another couple hours after the release. So that, you know, just piggybacking on last week's podcast, you know, Amazon, not a great service, but
nope.
Marlon, why don't you take this one for?
Yeah. So
why don't you go first on this?
I was with this show. I wanted to like this show, just like how you wanted to like this show. But the last, so like the episode before the last one was not great, but this last episode was so slow. Like, it wasn't even just that the story was boring, because the story was boring, but just like everyone's sentences would come like 2 sentences after, or 2 seconds after the last person spoke, and you're like, what are you people all waiting for? This is not how people talk to each other. And they would be like, hello.
Yeah, they were.
Oh, how are you doing?
They were really stretching for time, because there was not a lot of content in the episode.
Oh, okay.
Like, the entire episode is just them sitting around playing video games, and like literally nothing happens. They don't have like, and it's all, and like, it's not even like meaningful conversation, just like, oh, here, do you want to use this controller? Sure. Hey, do you want some tea? Yeah, I'll go make some tea. Like, there's no, like, reason for any of it.
Right. Right. Like the kind of things that most shows you would think would skip over, like giving the guy a GameCube controller to play Smash Bros., they literally thought it was a good idea to, like, go through the motions.
I'm about, like, but it doesn't progress the relationship or anything.
No,
like,
it means
you
nothing.
Can make that work if it's
no. That was one dude giving the other dude the GameCube controller, not like the girlfriend, a boyfriend, or anything.
So that all kind of ties back around to it. What it took me a while to kind of put my finger on what was wrong with the show, because, like Marlon said, we really want to like the show because it's a good concept. You know, we want more shows.
Yeah, it sounded like you guys were. It sounded like you guys were pretty hot on it.
Yeah, and the first episode was pretty solid. So, you know, we were really looking forward to this. And it just is, I think ultimately the writer has no idea what they're doing. So they have a good idea.
they have good stories.
And, all of the plot lines, like the characterizations all over the place, particularly with the other couple. So, like, there's the main couple.
Yeah, the older
and
ones, quote unquote.
Yeah, there's the main couple, and then there's their two friends who are also dating, and they're like all over the map. Their relationship is terrible, and they're like supposed to be like the foil to the main couple of like, this is the bad example of how not to do it. But at the same time, you're still supposed to like them and think their relationship is good. And it's all over the place with that. Mm-hmm. That's really bad. And like, there's no like rhyme or reason or like. Either the writer doesn't know what they're doing, or they're not like planning out ahead and just like making up stuff as they go. And it's very inconsistent and sometimes just flat out boring, like last week. And it's really frustrating because every now and then you'll get some gems, especially with like the main guy is like so smooth, and like he's such a good character, and he's just like
he's the only good character
carried like entire episodes by himself. But like, for example, just like in this last episode this week, like the cold opening before the OP plays was like really good. And it was like this conversation between the main couple. They have this sort of like, you know, nice intimate conversation about like how they felt about growing up. And like the main guy is like, when I used to be a dumb kid, when they're talking about like he used to have his ears pierced and like he wanted to be like this cool adult. Mm-hmm. And now that he's an adult, he just wants to stay a kid. And like, it was this nice conversation. And like, see, that's good. That's good. Like, I want to see more of that kind of stuff. But that's only like a minute and a half of the episode, and then the other 20 plus minutes are just garbage. So like, you get these little gems that are like, man, this show could be good, and then.
So you're telling me it's like Dragon Maid?
Maybe.
I don't know if you can really compare the two.
I think Dragon Maid had a more consistent sense of purpose to it. It's just that half the time the sense of purpose was bad. This is just like spraying ideas all over the place and very inconsistent and not like it just doesn't seem like the writer knows what they're doing. And
yeah, like having what seems like a toxic relationship and like not resolving any of the issues in the toxic relationship.
But last week's episode drove me crazy because like the one guy in the other couple is like has some like really like old-fashioned, you know, putting it nicely, ideas of like masculinity and stuff like that, and he's like kind of a jerk most of the time, and like he said like all these like mean things to his girlfriend, and then like she's crying and stuff, and then she calls him out on like all of it, and he's like, yep, and then he gives her a hug and everything's okay, and I'm like,
what? Oh,
the main girl in the main what? Couple is like crying after that for some reason, as if it was some touching reunion.
Oh, what a touching!
Yeah, so he was always like, oh, well, you know, of course you would say that, you're a woman. He says stuff like that all the time, and like, yeah, all
right,
I think I zoned out again.
That's a good defense mechanism, G.
I've officially dropped it. That last episode was so bad.
Yeah, I'll probably, just for the sake of watching the train wreck, keep going, but I don't know. It's disappointing. Another big disappointment.
Thinking I might just get back on Real Girl.
No, it's not a big disappointment.
Yes, thank you, Iroh. So we have some on the opposite end of the spectrum, we've got some of the best shows to talk about here, so... Let's come back around to Megalobox. How's that doing?
Megalobox!
Till the last dog dies, the midsummer heat might drive a dog to kill, but it will never break him.
Yeah.
That episode was pretty good.
The episode titles in this show are so fucking good.
Wait, that's one episode title?
That's the episode title. Again, the title of the last episode was Until the Last Dog Dies, the Midsummer Heat Might Drive a Dog to Kill, but it will never break him.
Yeah. That's amazing. I love unnecessarily long. Good.
Like,
so
it's good. It's still pretty straightforward, like, yeah. Boxing yeah. with vibrator actuators, but it's just, I mean, we're going to repeat all the things we said before. It's just got a really good, cohesive, visceral style to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, to speak a little more to that, like, you know, if to answer the question, has it gotten, you know, better, worse, or stayed the same, in a ways, it has stayed the same, but I think this last episode was particularly really, really mm-hmm. good. It's
right. I mean, I say just, the basic sports story, but the past two episodes have, you know, actually gone into stuff.
Yeah, it's done some really cool stuff. Like, I mean, you know, you watch enough sports anime and you kind of know where these things are going or like what they're meant to like narratively represent. But, you know, kind of like, for example, the last match in, you know, the anime Ping Pong, this fight in Megalobox is just a really fantastic, like the best sports anime use the sport as a kind of grander metaphor for the relationships and the ideologies of the people involved. And I think specifically the last week's episode of Megalobox is just fantastic about it. And, you know, obviously it helps that it just looks so good. The fight just feels so, you know, like a good mob boxing match. It just feels so meaty. And yeah, just
yeah,
fucking what a badass great show.
You know, man. I think we talked about when we talked about the first impressions, how the entire package, audio and visual and all that, is very important. Like, it's difficult to explain in words why the show is good. So,
oh yeah, soundtrack.
You just gotta watch it.
Watch it.
Oh man,
I still haven't watched it myself, but I've seen nothing. I've seen nothing but universal praise for it.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, you know, like in a considering or perhaps looking at, you know, some of the past shows that have been our like genuine anime of the year contenders, you know, you have things like Erased or Shirobako or Made in Abyss, but then you know what, you also have years like Kill la Kill,
right.
And
yeah,
and Megalobox. It's early in the year, but man, fucking the rest of the year, anime has its work cut out for it if it wants to compete with Megalobox as one of the big contenders.
I don't know, man. You haven't watched Lions.
I mean, hey, I'll throw a
Megalobox is just
I'll throw out
the
next show on our list
where...
even for contender.
Yeah,
sure. But like of everything this season, Megalobox is the one where I need to watch the next episode when it comes out. Like,
yes, definitely.
Every week, you know.
My one concern, and I voiced it to you guys before, though, is just like the conceit is that it's boxing with these enhancements, and they did this like basically this gimmick where the main character is not using those enhancements, and like I don't know how far they can push this before it just seems unrealistic that he's able to like take a punch from this like, you know, this piston powered boxing glove and
why
is able to somehow
that?
Still come out like conscious.
It's
like an airbutt thing. There's nothing in the rules that says a man can't play without it.
Right, I was gonna say, you know, Jell, there's nothing in the rules that say a dog can't play football.
There might be something in the rules that prevent a dog.
You know, there's nothing in the rules that say a man.
But it works because they're basically using it as like a pro wrestling gimmick, because they want to get exposure so they can get into the super tournament.
In universe, they do explain it as like, look, kid, you know, if you want to get into the big tournament, you know, we're gonna have to make waves fast and hard, and we already can't afford good equipment, so we might as well lean into it as our, you know, our publicity gimmick,
right.
Basically. So. I get where you're coming from, Marlon. I do, but asking that question
right.
is like, it's like asking like, how come this like 40-ton
Why don't they just use
robot.
The Eagles to drop to the ring? And,
yeah, yeah.
Fair point, hero. Fair
right.
point.
There we go. You know, it's the questions that, like, if you ask more than three of, can dismantle the entire mecha anime genre. And, you know, part of it, I think, is just you have to buy into the conceit, because otherwise it's going to drive you nuts from start till finish, but you know, whatever.
Still
that show's
good,
just fucking cool, man.
Glad to hear that that is still still holding up. You know what else is still holding up? Hinamatsuri. My personal favorite.
Yeah.
You all been talking about this last episode being like a game changer, and I don't know shit about what's been going on in the last episode.
Anzu is a precious, wonderful child.
She is too good for this world.
Everything good in the world to happen to her.
Yeah.
What's going
We don't deserve Anzu in this world.
We don't.
Is that the kung fu girl?
No, she's the she's the blonde girl.
The homeless one.
The homeless one, but.
Yeah, I've only watched
the one with the bike back. The blonde hair.
She was in the second episode. She's the one that comes to get Hina, basically. But
the ponytail one.
Yeah. So since we last talked about the show, I would say it's gotten better because it's gone in directions that I wasn't expecting it to be more of a, I guess, more of an ensemble type of story. Right. So we had our. Our main girl Hina, who's, you know, living with Nita, the Yakuza guy, and then we've got Anzu, who's the girl that comes to get her from wherever they're from, and then she gets stuck on Earth and ends up living with in a homeless camp, and then we have Hina's friend from school, Hitomi, who gets blackmailed into becoming a bartender.
It's better than it sounds.
Like, no, it's so not it's bad. Bad but it sounds...
Well, it really isn't. If you actually get down to it, like, her situation is
pretty dark.
for black comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. Like, that's... So, you know what? I feel like we should air it. Like, the weird thing with Hinamatsuri, even, you know, we all kind of got that feeling with the first episode, but even now it is maybe even leaning harder into its weird disparity between the hilarious black comedy moments and the really heartfelt drama stuff, I guess. And I guess I still don't know how to feel about it. It's such an odd show. Like, even this very episode that we all watched, the first half of it is like, Nita and his shitty weird family and like they're getting drunk and playing around with the portrait of Nita's dead dad.
Oh, and, yeah. So good.
And they're talking about, like, you know, and, you know, Nita's like, I gotta come up with a good fucking cover story to hide the fact that I am just randomly taking care of this unregistered 13-year-old child or whatever. And then literally the second half is about fucking this beautiful, precious girl finally getting something good in her life, but at the cost of losing some of the people she cares for most in the world. And I just don't know how to process this show.
CG, you just don't have the long history that me and Marlon have of watching these weird comedies that occasionally throw these giant emotional gut punches at you, but
right.
yeah this I live for this stuff personally. I guess I just assumed
it was going to be more like Nichijou or something, where like the first 80% of it is that like weird crazy comedy, and then it springs the drama and heart on you in, you know, the final stretch.
Yeah,
but
I think they are cashing in their chips a little earlier than I was expecting.
Yeah.
Right. Like, where the hell does the show go from here? Like, look, they had an entirely new ED sequence for this episode, and
episode
next
five.
Week, literally next week, is probably just going to be like Hina still being a lazy dirtbag again,
well,
and
still one more
as if nothing had changed.
The cast. You know, in the opening, like there's that girl what looks like a deserted island or something like
that. Yeah, isn't that the kung fu girl? Yeah.
I also found it kind of funny last episode, like with the TVs, that they've completely thrown out the pretense of them having powers because they could have totally just used the powers to bring the TVs to the guy.
Right. When was the last time powers even like figured into the show in a meaningful way?
I find that interesting that they've kind of sidelined. I'm sure it'll come up again, but like that they're managing to pull off the show without even like going to their most unique hook, which is kind of interesting. I think with this last episode,
it's probably a good sign, if you ask me.
Oh, no, like, yeah, definitely.
Right,
yeah.
That doesn't need to lean on it, totally.
I think with this last episode, just to talk about where it fits, I think the general idea, and you could even include the bit with the sillier bit with Nita's family, is that this weird kind of situation that these girls are in is very fragile and temporary and probably won't last forever. And that's kind of an interesting concept that I'm sure will be explored as the series gets closer to the end. And that's kind of where a lot of the emotional punch is going to come from, which I mean,
totally right. Like these kind of fucking shows, right? Like, okay, just tell me when's the episode when Hina finally calls Nita her dad, right? Like, that's where this is going, right? Like, let's just get to there. The big heartfelt moment with Akio Ani, hair blowing in the wind.
She already does, though, actually. Maybe not to his face. But in school.
No, she just calls him Nita. Like, it's other people who are like, oh, you mean your dad? And she's like, no, Nita.
And also, it's interesting. The magic stuff is almost like, it was just a vehicle for bringing these girls into a fish out of water situation so that there's like an excuse for them, for the one girl to be homeless, for the one girl to be living with Nita, for the one girl to get like involved with the Yakuza and this shady bar. And it's like, you know, they've completely dropped some of the pretenses, but it's like the writer realized that he had a way better thing going with all these ancillary ideas he created that he totally just dropped the original.
Right. These situations wouldn't have been possible without that initial weird sci-fi premise or whatever. But now that we're here, it's not really that important.
Right. Like a part of me half expected Hina Matsuri was just going to become Lolicon Zatch Bell. So,
well, thank God it did not go that route. Certainly did. I could see why you would think that.
I mean,
though.
Look, girls teleporting to another dimension naked with psychic powers. Come on, like, there are so many ways Hina Matsuri could have ended up turning into, like, the worst fucking thing in the world.
Thankfully it didn't, but,
Yep.
Yeah, at the very least, from this latest episode, which was great, got a little dusty in the room while I was watching, I must admit.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's pretty intense, especially the end, the new ED and everything. And
dude, that fucking episode, holy shit, you can't just do that.
I'll have to catch up on this.
You can't just fucking, you just can't fucking do that. Jesus.
Yeah. Right. So at the very least, we know that they're going to be willing to shake things up. And that really makes me excited to see where the show goes from here. So
it's real good, but you know what? Like, sorry, Jell, but Hina Matsuri doesn't have 15-word long episode titles, so I don't think
we'll save that debate for December, but let's keep it rolling.
Tell me, is Full Metal Panic better, or worse, or the same after 13 years?
you know what? The fact that I could say the same, and that is maybe the happiest I've ever felt about a mecha anime in years probably tells you how I feel about Full Metal Panic.
I know we mentioned on the last podcast that I had that one like tailor-made for you episode, and then it was a recap this week, right? So that was the last like actual episode.
No. There was an episode. There was a new episode last week.
Okay. There was one in between.
So you know, just to continue on that, Full Metal Panic is still pretty damn good. It's kind of crazy. Like, 13 years later, but these characters, they have both grown and changed, but also have still kind of maintained what really made them work all those years ago. You know, like, for example, one character I could talk about is, so without any context, this sounds probably real fucking weird, but the main character, Sosuke Sagara, is part of a PMC organization called Mithril. And the leader of Mithril is Telitha Tessa Testarossa.
That's quite a name.
The 16-year-old female super genius.
Anime!
Who leads this group of hardened military dudes. And in the old Full Metal Panic anime, she very much was like the character who was meant to be like, haha, isn't it crazy that this PMC is led by a little girl sort of thing, right? Like, and it was totally a thing of like she earned her loyalty because, you know, of, you know, to be frank, her precocious femininity. Like, that was the appeal, right? Like, you know, in the anime, it'd be like the other soldiers, like, you know, oh, we gotta, you know, you heard the princess's orders, like, we gotta get it done, that sort of thing. But then in this anime, like, she's still kind of that character. She is still like the young woman who is like faced with, you know, leading this organization, but then now they're kind of leaning into like the actual legitimate difficulty of leading a PMC organization at a, you know, at such a young age and as someone with no military training. And fucking she hardens up, man, and it's fucking crazy as shit. Like, you know, straight up in an episode, one of her members of her PMC is suggesting that they commit treason and try and sell her as a hostage in exchange for their own survival. And she fucking like goes up and is like, you know, soldier, what you're speaking of is called treason. Officer, hand me my sidearm. This is how we deal with it. And
nice.
Like, and she gives this like real fucking good ass speech about like you probably think I'm coming up here now to beg to you with tears in my eyes to serve me loyally, to use my precocious femininity to earn your begrudging loyalty. Like, no, like, do you know who I am? I am your superior commanding officer. Address me. Who am I, soldier? And it's so good. It's really good. And you know what? The robot shit is also pretty good, even though it's CG. It's decent. You know, they're doing a relatively decent job of leaning into the strengths of CG mecha versus hand-drawn. So, you know, while it's not perfect, it's definitely in a much better place than it could be. And yeah, that said, they had a recap episode this week, and that's weird. It definitely has me worrying about where is the production for this show, because up till now, the show has looked fantastic, you know, barring a couple of weird CG car chases. Like, the anime has looked solid, and so introducing a recap episode this early on does have me a bit worried.
Do we know if this is just the single season, or is it going 24 episodes, or do we have any idea on that yet?
That is also the worrying thing. I think they recently confirmed it's a single core, so 13 episodes or whatever.
Yeah, so that is kind of troublesome to have a recap episode at all in a 12.
Yeah, so it has me wondering. It definitely has me worried, but
so far,
at the same time, the show has been pretty damn solid. Yeah, like,
yeah, I wonder if it's just,
you know, I don't hold it here,
a change in how anime is getting made, because you said that there's a couple shows that are doing that, right?
I mean, you know, speaking of a show we haven't probably, a show that, you know, I'm going to say now that we'll probably never speak of ever again, but apparently Beatless, a show that is, I think, 16, 17 episodes in, is about to have its fourth recap episode. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on with anime production. I mean, we all know how bad it can be, but
Was the show last season, March and Madchen or something like that, that they basically canceled the last
production completely,
like
fell
the director
apart,
and like a bunch of people quit, and they basically canceled the last two episodes or something like that.
Well, I mean, that's definitely the extreme example of things, but I mean,
right, yeah.
Full Metal Panic is being made by ZebEx, and you know, say what you will about most of the stuff they put out, but they also made Yamato 2199. Like, they are
veteran studio.
Yeah, they're generally a pretty, you know, high end studio. When they're firing at all cylinders, anyway. You know, but so it's weird. I hope it's not indicative of things to come. But
yeah.
For now, I'm still feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I feel like there's so many ways that it bringing back Full Metal Panic in 2018 could have gone wrong. So
if
the worst we get is a recap episode in a weird spot, then so be it, I guess. Yeah. So
sure. Speaking of robots,
yeah. While we're on robots, how's Gundam Build Divers looking? Is it better than Try Yet? Is that a loaded question?
Fine.
It's hard because Build Divers is so different. but not necessarily better, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I think we are appreciating it more. We are definitely, I would say we are definitely broadly enjoying it more because it is trying something different.
Yeah.
But of the past few episodes we've been watching, only one of them has really stood out to us. And half of the reason it stood out so much is because it leaned super hard into G Gundam nostalgia.
Yeah. Which,
hey, I'll take that shit any day of the week. But when it's not doing that, it very much is kind of just a by the numbers kids show. And
yeah,
like I can barely remember what happened in like the last two episodes because it's just so unremarkable in a lot of ways.
Who did the buddy who gave up on Gunpla because he got sad or something?
All right. Maybe the better question is, how many Gunpla kits has it made you buy?
You know what? Funnily enough, none so far.
They're not released yet. I went to the store like last week.
Yeah, we literally went Gunpla shopping, Iroh and I, last week, and the import store hadn't gotten them yet, so...
Okay, so it's not a matter of you're not planning... So you're planning on buying them, you just haven't gotten them yet.
Yeah,
So the show's still just...
Do you mean specifically from... sorry, go ahead.
Right, I mean, specifically, how many has this specific show made you buy? I mean, you guys are always going to buy Gunpla, I know, but...
Yeah, but in that case, actually, not that many, to be honest. I don't actually love a lot of the Gundam Build Divers designs. Like, as a robot fan, you know, as a fan of cool robots and plastic toys and all that shit, like, none of the Gundam Build Divers designs actually catch my attention that much. The only one that has is
Grimoire.
Yeah, that. Yeah, you know, I could say the name, but like that, it without context, like I might as
well
be
dumb as hell,
right? So I won't even say the name of it, but just there is one design that I'm probably interested in picking up. But otherwise, actually, like as a commercial for the overall product, it's very effective.
Okay.
For its specific product line, not so much.
So it's at least dragging old kits that they're inspiring you to get some old whatever from previous shows.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Because I mean, really, that's the
you
want to
like go.
That's the most important.
Up again next week.
you guys can work out your Gunpla date after the show.
I just say we can grab lunch. Maybe we check out Infinity War or whatever and buy some Gunpla. You know,
yep,
make it a day.
Sure. As you do.
All right, so moving on. Right. We're gonna have a conversation about Amenchu that I was not expecting to have.
I just caught up with this about an hour before we start recording, so
it's certainly not the same. It's getting weird.
Yeah. So Amenchu normally has been just like happy, fun, Keelan diving stuff. We're just hanging out in modern Japanese town and learning about diving, getting our diving licenses, and chilling out with...
Very much grounded in reality.
Right. But recently, weird magic stuff has started to crop up, and though, like, even though they, like, tend to wave it away with, oh, she was just dreaming, it's still, like, showing up when it wasn't here before.
It's like dominated the past three or four episodes, and it feels like...
And it looks like it's going to dominate the next three or four episodes.
Yeah, it feels like they've been building up or trying to, like, soften the blow of adding a fantasy element to the show, which is very bizarre, like, because we're, like, if you count the first season, we're, like, what, 18 episodes or 16 episodes, like, in or something like that?
Yeah.
And, They've shown a preview for the next arc. They put out like a trailer for the next arc with like magic pirate ships.
Arc, let me say, there's an arc in like this slice of life healing show.
Right? Yeah, that's just weird.
A, it's weird. B, it's got flying ships and like mysterious boys. And
is this just about to become an isekai show?
And Sensei being like, you've returned. Or something.
Yeah,
like,
again,
I don't know what's going on.
It's so weird because, like, I mean, I wouldn't bat an eyelash if this happened like three episodes in, but we're like,
right,
we went a whole
or like,
of,
yeah,
like,
or like,
no hints or anything at like something outside of just normal, outside Japanese high school faces. Stuff. And the well, yeah, but the Muppet, you can always write that off as, you know, silly anime comedy faces, right? But the
right.
So Aria, previous series by the mangaka, would had a lot of this magical realism type stuff, but also took place in bars, like
right
Mars, Venice. So at the start, you're like, all right, this is like not regular stuff.
Right.
So when they go back in time or talk to ghosts, it's not that incongruous.
You can do that on Mars.
Yeah. You know, when I talk, when I speak to Kaitzith, the king of cats.
Right.
And he's an 8-foot tall cat. It's
right. As soon as you just as soon as you put your setting in space, then you've already added a fantasy element. To a certain degree, so
right.
It's not that
but
shocking.
Amanchu has been grounded.
Yeah, I mean, most of the show has been like details about how to do scuba diving and stuff like that. So, like, it's almost like too realistic. And then now we're moving on to like,
all right, so
weird fantasy stuff. It's just bizarre. I'm not necessarily against it. I don't know if it's going to really necessarily make the show better or worse, but I don't know if it's really going to help.
Not what we
yeah,
because
I mean the best parts of the show are like dealing with like Teko dealing with her social anxiety and stuff like that, which were very real. Like when the show gets real, like really real about her problems and stuff like that, that's like when it's at its best. And I don't see how adding fantasy elements is going to make that better. So I don't know.
Can I ask a question?
What's up?
So you said like a lot of like the original Amanchu is like. What was the character's name? Teko? Like, overcoming her anxiety through the power of learning how to scuba dive, right?
Just, like, hang out with friends. Yeah.
And sure, sure. But the scuba diving was the catalyst for it, yes?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's like the hook. Yeah.
Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Sure. Would you say that by the end of season one, she had overcome this personal issue of hers?
No, not really.
I mean, unlike most, I'd say closer to reality in that they treat it as a thing that require, like, you don't just get over it at the climax.
But I guess I'm curious if, like, this show is like, all right, Teko, we fixed you a scuba diving. Now it's time to go on adventures.
No, it's not. It's not that at all.
Yeah, and it's not that.
Part of why, like, Amanchu handles those issues much better than most shows, which is probably its biggest strength. So, like, you know, she was, like, legitimately dealing with, you know, anxiety and probably depression and stuff like that. And, like, it's, like Iroh said, they don't ever make it like, okay, I'm cured. It's an ongoing, you know, struggle for her.
Like, this, like, past couple episodes, they go diving and she, like, panics while they're diving and, you know, has to deal with the like fallout from that
right
stuff. So
because she ended up actually doing something dangerous because she was panicking. So I don't see how if that's the show's strongest point, I don't see how getting further away from reality is really going to help that. So I don't know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know. Weird. So I tentatively same, I guess.
It's different. I don't know if it's better or worse, but it's different.
If not, completely.
Speaking of different,
like, shows that got real different all of a sudden.
Lupin the Third, Lupin Trois, yeah. Lupin Part 5.
As I put in the notes, it is très bien.
Yeah,
and it also revealed itself to be an anthology and not a single arc thing.
It's weird. But
the social media, I'm stealing Bitcoin from these Bitcoin moguls, and also we're using AR and drones was so good.
Oh, it was so good.
That was just amazing.
But then it says the end, and the next episode is Pink Jacket Lupin doing like goofy safe cracking.
Yeah, it's
So it's not even the same Lupin.
No.
So for those not in the know, Lupin the Third is a long-running franchise and has aired multiple series aired over, you know, 40, 50 years. And so there's like Green Jacket and Red Jacket and Pink Jacket, which are like redesigns of Lupin and kind of match different eras of the character.
Right, so, and not only do they match different eras of the character, but they often tend to also speak to slight tonal changes in the character himself and the way and the tonal changes in the shows that he inhabits. You know, so for example, you know, one color of Lupin's jacket might denote a much more cartoony, you know, gag series, while another might, you know, imply something more serious or noir inspired.
Yeah.
And for better or worse, it also makes it a super effective way to communicate to your audience. Like, oh, look, Lupin's wearing his green jacket again. Right. You know, that implies a certain kind of tone.
And so this episode popping up with pink jacket Lupin, and we all go, ha! Didn't see this coming.
Luckily, you know, if we had this podcast last week, maybe we would be a lot more worried. But thankfully, the next episode preview for the last episode of Lupin we watched, the Pink Jacket Lupin episode, showed that they were returning to a much more kind of modern style for the next story. And so that's kind of what makes Lupin weird now, is we don't really know what to expect from it. Like, are all the stories going to follow roughly the same theme of, or are all the quote-unquote main stories of this anime TV series going to follow the basic premise of Lupin versus modern technology? Was that only a theme for the first part? Like, we just don't know where it's going right now.
Yeah, and like the next story so sounds less... more like a fantasy, like, I don't, like almost like a... Nathan Drake sort of thing, where they're going to go into a castle and find clues and stuff like that.
Right, and so it's less that we are worried about the quality of the show, but I think we're just more uncertain about the direction it's going to take now, yeah. Because the first part was just so good.
It was great.
Like, the first part of Lupin, this new Lupin anime, is maybe the platonic ideal of what Lupin could be in the 21st century. Like, how Lupin could reinvent himself as a character, as a franchise. It's just, you know, it's got all those good hijinks, all those good, like, capers and tricks, but then it also has this really, really good biting modern angle to it. And
yeah. So it's going to come down to if... at the end of next core, we're going to be saying, what a great series of, like, Lupin vignettes. Or if we're going to say, boy, that first one was really good.
Yes, right. Exactly. That is the worry, I think, is because along with the reveal of the anthology format, they also revealed that they have, like, 7 writers on this show.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
Some of those are worrying because,
you know, an anthology means you are going to get, you know, a lot of potentially interesting stories, but then it could also mean you could get something that's very uneven and not necessarily in an intentional way, in the way that something like Space Dandy was. And
right, because like the slapstick was just bad.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun with that episode.
I'll say this. That Pink Jacket episode of Lupin is a very good episode of what that style of Lupin is, but it is not what I want Lupin to be in 2018,
right.
And it is not
right.
what I would watch even more than 2 or 3 episodes of in a row. Like,
yeah,
they
right.
very
Absolutely.
Wisely made this a one-off, and they very wisely showed off in the next episode preview, like, don't worry, it's Blue Jacket
Blue
again.
Jacket.
We're going
yep.
back to
right.
like the kind of noir hijinks caper stuff, because
mm-hmm.
if they did even...
Even another one
of this style of episode would be discouraging enough to make me stop watching, because it's not that Pink Jacket Lupin is bad. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who are fans of that, you know, of any era of Lupin, but it's just not what I wanted to get out of this show.
I think that's a one episode breather, though.
That's a bit more accurate.
Yeah. As a one episode breather, I think that is the right decision for that. But...
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a show where we genuinely don't know what to expect for the next episode, which
totally.
Is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I guess it remains to be seen if that's going to be a good or a bad thing. I've seemed
yeah.
kind of disappointing because
yeah.
I wanted more Lupin versus the internet, but...
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. If the next arc reveals itself to be more of that, then I think that'll go to alleviating a lot of our worries, but if the next arc ends up being bad or something, then... really going to throw a lot of things into question.
We just don't know at this point, so I guess we'll have to see. All right.
Speaking Indeed. Of things that are bad.
Yeah, so we're going to
go real quickly.
Yeah, Iroh, give us the
Kamen Rider Build here. here. Come our build. We're like 3/4 into that show. It's a fucking mess.
Better, worse, or the same?
Somewhere between same and worse. Like, the show
didn't
is hardly resembles what it started as. Like,
didn't Aqua describe it as like the non-Gundam? The non-Gundam Sunrise original mecha anime of toku shows.
That
speaks volumes.
Yes, totally. Like, first it was about science being used for good or evil. And, like, technology, you know, is not inherently evil, but can be used for evil. But then it became about war is hell, and these nations are fighting and over this power source, and the innocent people are getting caught up in the middle. And then the aliens showed up, and people are possessed by aliens, and we also want to be like Kamen Rider Gaim, because maybe the world's at stake. And then the villain puts on a belt, and it starts playing Ode to Joy, and I don't fucking know what's going on anymore.
Do other nations have Kamen Riders?
Yeah. And so that was part of the war angle.
Right, what if it was G Gundam?
Part of the war angle is straight up like, we're conscripting you to Kamen Riders because, you know, you're like our most powerful military force against their Kamen Riders.
Oh, man. That could almost work super well.
It was interesting for a while, and we were like, okay, this thing has kind of swerved, but I guess it's about war now. And then, like, the aliens. And there are just too many power-ups, and nothing has impact because it's all so out there all the time, and it doesn't make sense. But hell, I'm willing to see through to the end at this point.
Isn't there another 6 months or something to go?
Another 10-ish episodes.
It's ending. It's ending this.
The Kamen Rider and Toku doesn't line up.
They don't follow
goddamn schedule.
Right.
Anyway, the other major Toku, Lupin Ranger versus Pat Ranger, has been still fine. I would say it's the same. Still like kid show, Super Sentai business.
How many hearts have they stolen?
Not enough. Perhaps too many.
Any birthday memes?
Make Commander Hilltop a ranger, you motherfucking cowards. Is what I have to say about that. Because there is the police rangers. Their commissioner is just a black guy, and just, he is great because he's not played as a joke or anything.
Oh, okay.
He's just a black guy.
Just hanging out?
Yeah.
Great.
I mean, that's kind of neat because I guess that could play into like the old like 70s police procedural stereotype of like like the hard-assed black chief of police
or
whatever.
Not even hard-ass. You know? He's just nice guy.
Oh, okay. I got nothing.
All right. This is still a kid's show.
He's just a cool dude. And he's not a joke. And it made me so happy.
If he's not a bald, black, hard-assed police commissioner asking you to turn in your badge and your gun every week, then I don't know how I feel about this.
Anyway, yeah, so those are still going. And also, Pokemon Sun and Moon continues to be... continues to be great. It's good. It's Pokemon. It'll bring you back to when you were 7, and it's wonderful. What have they...
Have they done anything particularly notable since the last time you gave it a shout out?
Baby!
Yeah, I was gonna say, has anything interesting happened in that show?
Zig has been out doing various things, so I'm a few episodes behind. I have heard though that Team Rocket has gotten themselves a Z-ring.
Oh no.
Or something. Yeah,
Team Rocket's old news. I'm on the Wise Man now.
Team Skull has shown up a few times.
Yeah, that's old news. I'm on to Wise Man now.
It's just really low. I want to say it's like inconsequential, and it kind of is, but that's the charm of Pokemon, I think, is that this shit has been going forever and will never stop, and is, but Sun and Moon in particular has just been a delight through and through.
Okay, then.
Okay. One more thing. Yep. Is Nurse Jenny in it?
Shut your fucking mouth.
You war criminal. You.
There was an episode where they go to the Pokemon Center to learn work experience, but no, Nurse Joy is sick, so we all need to fill in various roles. Nurse Joy. You've got me doing it, Marlon.
Isn't
I was about to say Nurse Penny. Son of a bitch.
Bad.
Does she need to do anything other than just take the Pokeballs and put them in the holder?
Yeah, also
they
that,
need to clean.
Right, in like the little Pokemon microwave.
Well, like I thought that the Pokemon microwave isn't in the show, right? So like, we need to mop the floors, and we need to climb the Alolan Executor and like scrub its neck and etc.
Don't you get a janitor for that?
Nurse Joy does a lot of work.
Yeah, Nurse Joy does everything.
I don't think Nurse Joy went to medical school for 4 years
mop
the floor. Yeah.
Brock's still going to Pokemon medical school, by the way. Yeah. Like at the end of the episode, Nurse Joy shows up and they're like, oh, you're feeling better. But it's Nurse Joy from the next town over. Because a lot of my sister called me over because she was sick.
That's pretty good.
All right.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Pokemon's good. Pokemon.
Have we missed anything? I think that's everything.
I think that's everything.
So, and we're a bit over time. So, you know, we can call it a day on that.
I think so.
Yeah. It's a lot of anime.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's going on?
It's a lot of good shows, so plenty to talk about, plenty to watch, plenty to write about. So,
is anime better the same or worse?
Anime
is better this year, yeah. Honestly.
It's been a long time since we've had this many shows consistently every season to watch. So,
in a world where I have to live with the terminal condition that is the Golden Kamuy anime, it is difficult for me to ever just say with a straight face that this is unilaterally a better season of anime. But things like regular treatments like Megalobox and Lupin and Full Metal Panic certainly help mitigate the symptoms. So
with your subscription to Crunchyroll, you can help anime fans like
not even sponsored.
For just $9.99 a month, you can help. Yes.
Yeah. Side effects may include.
In the arms of angels.
I will
all
say.
Right. Now it's. I'm shutting this down.
One last word is that I think the Glorio Chad podcast is the same because you can't improve on a 10 out of 10.
All right,
see you guys next week.
let's do our normal housekeeping. So read all of our stuff on theglorioblog.com. You can follow us on Twitter at theglorioblog, where you can get the latest updates as well as whatever weird things I am posting, like random screenshots or obscure Kakaguri subtitle jokes.
I had to explain that joke to somebody.
Yeah,
from the top.
I was really hoping that one would take off, and then it occurred to me that not nearly enough people A, watched Kakegurui, and B, knew anything about the subtitle thing. So,
sure.
For the three people out there on the planet that got that joke, thank you. I think all three of them retweeted it. So,
I think all three of them are in this.
And two of them are on this call. Yes. So. Yep, so like, comment, subscribe, leave a comment, review, rating, tell your friends.
Tell your enemies,
and that'll do it. So we will catch everybody next episode.
See you later.
Bye.